Oh, thank God he's alive. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. And what a price Jesus paid. But what a price the Father paid to give his only begotten Son for our sakes. What a Father. Praise God. Let's pray tonight as we go to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for your ways. They're so amazing. And we have such little understanding of them. And we look forward to the day when we'll be in your presence and hear you rehearsing things that you've appointed. And Lord, not just for this time, but for eternity. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll open our hearts and, oh God, meet us where we are. We ask that you'll speak from heaven and let your anointing quicken us and bring forth life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you tonight about learning to obey when God speaks to us. Now, that may sound fairly simple, but I wonder how many do it. I wonder how many do it. Let me ask you this. How many of you know that there's been a time in your life when God spoke to you and you didn't want to do it and you just walked away? Well, there's a few, quite a few. And we're not very proud of that, are we? It's not a pleasant thing. In Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, though he were a son, and it's really referring to though he was the Son of God, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect or complete, fully complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus had to learn to obey his Father so that he could qualify to go to the cross. He had to qualify as a man, as flesh and blood like you and I. He had to qualify. He had to learn obedience so that he qualified to go to the cross. And so must we learn to obey and qualify ourselves for the purposes of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 22, verse 1 through 3, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or the word tempt there means to test. He tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and Abraham said, behold, here I am. Presented himself to God, and he said, take now thy son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now, we read this, and you can just skim over this and think, oh, what an amazing thing. But if you stop and meditate on it, it's an incredible thing. God spoke a word from heaven to Abraham. Abraham heard what God was saying. He heard it in his spirit. He agreed with it. He said amen to it in his spirit. But the terms were incredible. God said, take your only son that you love. And of course, we realize that this was going to be a type of what God our Father would do with his son, give him as a sacrifice for you and me. And Abraham had no questions. Would you have any questions? Think about it a while. You have one son that counts. And God says, go and offer him as a sacrifice. I'd have a lot of questions. Lord, wait a minute. How is this going to work? How is this going to work? Now wait, you gave me this son as a promise long ago. Now, how does this fit in? I don't understand what's happening. I think all of us would have some questions. But Abraham got up early. He got up early and went and proceeded to do what God had told him to do. Abraham did not question God. He didn't try to reason with him. He didn't argue with him about the wisdom of God's instruction. And he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son. And he simply obeyed without understanding what was happening. He simply obeyed God. He had such a relationship with God that he obeyed what God said and didn't question. In Genesis 22 and verse 18, God spoke to him here, and he says, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Because you've obeyed my voice. Now, I believe that God wants every one of us to learn to know his voice. He wants us to know when it's God speaking to us. It can take some time. I realize that. And God promised blessings upon Abraham because he obeyed God's voice. He says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Jesus, the Son of God the Father, learned obedience to the Father speaking to him. The Lord instructed him, and he responded to the circumstances which caused him various sorts of suffering. These instructing him to respond to circumstances which caused him suffering of various sorts, these steps of obedience to the voice of his heavenly Father were necessary to complete him so that he qualified to go to the cross to lay down his life to save us. and fulfill the will of his heavenly Father. Now, let's talk a little more about God speaking to us. How does he do it? Does he get a big horn and speak through it to us loud and clear so we know it's him? Well, we see with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, after Elijah had slain the prophets of Baal, Jezebel and Ahab sought to kill Elijah. And he ran for his life in the wilderness, and I can certainly understand why he would. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah requested of God that he could die. He was under a lot of stress. His life, there was a bounty on his life, so to speak, and he just wanted to die. He was exhausted and depleted. Jezebel put out a call to put him to death. And God, as he ran out into the wilderness, God caused him to sleep under a juniper tree. And God sent an angel to awake him, and then the angel fed him bread and water. And he slept some more, and then the angel woke him up, and he took some more bread and water. And he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and nights. God led him to a mountaintop to stand before the Lord. He experienced a powerful wind that broke up the rocks on the mountains. Now, I've seen heavy winds, but I've never seen that happen. God was not in that wind, though. God brought the wind. That wind that was so powerful, it broke rocks up off the mountain. And yet God was not in it. After that came an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then came a fire, but God was not in that fire either. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 12 and 13, and after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then came a still, small voice. It wasn't yelling at him. It wasn't screaming at him. It was just a very small voice. And there was such power in that voice that Elijah, when he heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. That voice had such power in it, a still small voice, but it was powerful, and it touched his very spirit. He wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And there came a voice unto him and said, "What do you do here, Elijah?" Now, God's still small voice speaking to us is very precious. It's a very special event. We never should take it lightly. We never should ignore it. We never should have the attitude, "Not now, Lord, I'm busy." It's a special privilege to hear that powerful, still, small voice of the Lord. And God wants every one of us, every one of us, every one of his people to know that voice and know how to respond to that still, small voice. Now that word still means quiet and calm. Quiet and calm. God approaches us with that attitude. I've never had God speak to me and he was all excited. Oh, you got to move quickly to do this. Never like that. He's never in a rush. He's very calm, very settled. And he speaks and expects obedience from his people. In John 10 and 27, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me." God wants every one of us to be his sheep that know his voice, that follow him when he speaks to us. Now, we must understand that God is very patient, and he will keep trying if we don't yet know the voice of the Lord, just like he did with Samuel. Samuel was a child. He was taken to the house of Eli, and I think probably Eli did not know the voice of the Lord. He didn't listen to the Lord when his sons were in terrible sins. He didn't deal with them. And after a while, I just think his ears became crusty and he couldn't hear anymore. But God spoke to Samuel, and he went running into the room of Eli. And Eli said, "I didn't call you." And he says, "You did call me." And he says, "No, go lie down again." And this happened several times. And finally, Eli told him, he said, "It's the Lord speaking to you. The next time it happens, and see, God can speak to us at any age. I remember God speaking to me when I was a young child. He can speak to us at any age. We may not understand everything, but he begins to speak to us many times at a very young age. And Eli said to Samuel, "The next time you hear that voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears you.'" So Samuel went, lay down, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And this time Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears you." Now, all of us have a time of learning to know the voice of the Lord, but we never want to take for granted when God speaks to us. It's a privilege to hear him speak to us. And we know that God had established Samuel to be a prophet of the Lord. And God used him really to save the nation of Israel. They were so backslidden. And God used Samuel very much to bring them along. Now, we must learn to distinguish God's voice from other voices. We can hear other voices too, and sometimes, you know, especially when we're younger, we aren't clear as to what's happening, who's speaking to us. But one thing God wants us to understand is that when we hear a voice speaking to us and we're not sure, God has given spiritual authorities to help guide us and protect us. That's what Eli was about. He wasn't a good spiritual authority, but he was the authority over Samuel, and he was able to instruct him to know what was happening and how he should respond in that situation. God also wants us to understand he's given us the scriptures. Is what God's saying something that aligns with the scriptures? God will not speak something that is contrary to the scriptures. We can be assured of that. God will often confirm what he speaks to us, sometimes through other people. God has many different ways to confirm the word that he speaks to us. If you're married, check with your mate. Check with your mate. Often when the Lord's speaking to me, I go to my wife and I tell her what I felt the Lord speaking. She says, yes, he just spoke that to me too. That's happened many times. It's wonderful confirmation. It's a blessing. And I want to encourage everyone, make time to wait on the Lord daily. Make time to wait on the Lord. I've got a certain chair in our apartment, and there's times at night I'm so tired. I get into bed, I get the covers snuggled over me, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminds me, aren't you going to go wait on the Lord? And immediately I jump up and say, yes, Lord, I will wait upon you. And I go to my chair and wait on the Lord. Sometimes it's so wonderful because the Lord is just speaking such wonderful things. There's other times he doesn't speak a word. I'm waiting on him. It seems like nothing is happening, but something is happening. It's very important to wait on the Lord. Spend time waiting in his presence. And I'm refreshed. I'm restored as I wait in the presence of the Lord. And there's times when several times a day I wait on the Lord. It's so important that we learn to do that. Now, Satan hates us. More than that, he hates God. And he doesn't want us to have a relationship with God. He had one at one time. Lucifer had a relationship with God. He was given tremendous privilege, but he stood up against God, rebelled against God, and lost his place forever and ever. And he seeks to deceive us. He seeks to deceive us. He wants to make us believe a lie if he can do that. But if we are obedient when God speaks, we're going to know the difference. And God will expose the enemy of our soul. One time, God spoke to me to go from our church to our home. We were about 3 or 4 miles away from the church to our home. And on the way, returning to our house, the Lord spoke to me and said, turn in to this house here where people from your church live. I didn't have an invitation to go. I didn't know any reason to go there, But God said, stop in at their house on the way home. So I did, and they had a major conflict going. And I arrived there just in time to be in the middle of it. That was a delightful experience. But I was there, and God gave me a word for them to help them and bring peace and bring settling in the situation. And I thought, Lord, this is wonderful. I like this. If you can set my appointments and have me there on time, I appreciate that. It's wonderful. But 2 weeks later, I was near the church again, right where I was 2 weeks earlier when God spoke to me and told me to go where I went. And this voice spoke to me and said, see, there were two roads, and each of them could get you to where we lived. And this voice spoke to me and said, which way are you going to go? I says, what do you mean, which way should I go? Well, 2 weeks ago, you went down this other way, and you were there right on time to meet the people's needs. What are you going to do? I said, Lord, I don't know. What should I do? And finally, I began to realize it wasn't God speaking this time. It was the devil trying to confuse me, trying to get me to do something under his command that would turn me aside in other situations from the voice of the Lord. And God wants us to understand that Satan will try to speak to us. And we want to learn to refuse his voice in every case. And God wants us to respond when he speaks to us. And he will, if we keep our heart right, if we walk in purity before the Lord, God will let us know when it's the powers of darkness trying to deceive us and take us in another direction. Now, I want to look with you for a minute or two at the tribe of Judah. They were greatly blessed by God. Out of all the tribes, God gave them a special place, a special privilege, opportunity. But when we study the tribe of Judah, as well as the whole nation of Israel, we see that they experienced much backsliding. And why was that? Why did they backslide so often? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God to speak to his people, to try to get them on course once again. And that meant to obey his voice. In Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. If you stop there, it's a wonderful thing. But the problem was their response. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. What a terrible thing. These were God's chosen people. And they had come to such a place. Now, I realize there had been war and the Babylonians moved in and they were taking over the land that God had given to Israel. But it was because of their disobedience. It was because of that. And God was trying to get them to wake up and begin to hear his voice once again. And even when they were in that captivity and trying to flee from it, they still wouldn't hear when God spoke to them. Let's go to Jeremiah 11, verse 10. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. They wouldn't listen to the voice of the Lord. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. God made promises to them. But their part was they had to obey what God said to them. They wouldn't do it. And then one more verse in Jeremiah 18, chapter 9 and 10. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good. I'll turn away from the good that I had ordained for them. This was a small group of Jews that were still left in the land. And God was trying to preserve a seed. And they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't respond. Now, obeying the Lord's voice is so worth it. God delights to move in behalf of those that obey him. He wanted that for the Jews. There was a missionary couple recently, and they were driving on a road, and behind them, speeding very fast, came a young driver in a car. And they were very concerned that he was going to run right into them. They slowed down, and he swerved around them and actually hit the side of their vehicle. The missionary tried to avoid any accident, but he couldn't. And when the police came to handle the situation, they ticketed the missionaries. And there's a special reason why. Because foreigners often have more money than the locals. Right? They often have more money, so they ticketed the missionary, who was not at fault. The missionary called me with details of the matter and inquired if we had any counsel in the matter. And they also asked, should we retain a lawyer? Well, I didn't know what they should do. And we prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, what can we say to these people that are in this situation? They have to go to court. Should they retain a lawyer to defend them? And the Lord spoke to us to read Psalm 17, 2 and 3. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. And those missionaries took that scripture that God had given to us for them, and they went to court without a lawyer. And when they went to court, the judge of that court met him, the missionary fellow, met him in the hallway and said, "What are you doing here?" The missionary did not realize that the judge had been one of his Bible school students a number of years before. The judge said to the missionary, "You should not be here." Then the prosecuting attorney showed up. He also had been a former student of this missionary. The missionary had not retained a lawyer because of the scriptures that we gave him. But had he retained a lawyer, the court, according to the laws of that nation, would have been required to provide him with a lawyer, a state or a country a lawyer that was paid for by the government, I should say. And had he retained that lawyer, that man could have sued the missionary. But because he didn't have a lawyer and he didn't have the money himself, he couldn't sue the missionary. And the judge dismissed the case against the missionary. God was so faithful to intervene for his servant. We thank God. But he listened for the voice of the Lord. I mean, he sought us, but we heard the voice of the Lord. And when he heard it, he said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it your way." And God intervened for him. And I thank God. Isn't God so wonderful? Now we must respond in obedience to that still small voice of the Lord that speaks to us. The nature of those Jews in Jeremiah's day and their refusal to respond to God's voice speaking to them, it created chaos for them. And their idea was that they were going to flee from the Babylonians and go to Egypt. Go to Egypt. Now, Egypt is a wonderful place, isn't it, Ashraf? Ashraf lives there. He loves it. But God had not given them Egypt. Oh, they had a time to live there, but God had promised them another land. And God wanted them to possess that land. And in Jeremiah 42, verse 5 and 6, when they said to Jeremiah, "The Lord be true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." And Jeremiah sought the Lord to hear what God's answer was. And the Lord said they were to remain in Judah and they would be kept by the power of God. He gave them that promise. They said they would obey. Whatever God said, they would do it. But if they chose to reject the word of the Lord and go into Egypt for safety, they would all die there. Now, God knew their heart, and that's why he said that. They immediately rejected the word of the Lord from the mouth of Jeremiah. They knew the consequences, and they still rejected the voice of the Lord. And God wants us to never reject the voice of the Lord. The nation of Judah faced the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar. It was God's judgment. He had control over it, but it was God's judgment. He had pronounced it upon them. And he said, "And now I have this day declared it to you, that you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me to you. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, in the place whither you desire to go and to sojourn." And they chose to go to Egypt, where they died there, except just for a handful of people. The nation of Judah were so rebellious, they would not hear the voice of the Lord. It's very dangerous to get to a place that we will not obey what God says to us. Sometimes it's not convenient, but oh, it is very, very important. Now, Daniel was in that attack by Nebuchadnezzar against the Jews. He and his friends were carried off to Babylon. And there in Babylon, in the Babylonian system, they went to the authorities over them. And it says in Daniel 1:8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now that word defile means to soil or to pollute or stain himself. He purposed, and his three friends with him purposed, they would not defile themselves in Babylon. They had to live right in the midst of this wicked kingdom. But Daniel would not do that which would defile his spirit. He wanted to live a life that was pure before the Lord. And he wanted to hear the voice of the Lord. He wanted to stay pure, that he would know what was on God's heart and hear what God was saying. That was more important to him than what he had to eat. Daniel would not defile his spirit. He wanted to live a life that was pure before God so he could hear the voice of the Lord and discern what God was saying and have perfect understanding of God's message to him. And God wants us to have a pure heart before the Lord. It's so very important. We don't want to compromise just so we can have the niceties of this world. Pastor Bailey often spoke to us of keeping pure, the importance of keeping pure. And our heart will be preserved from much evil and deception in the last days if we keep pure. I want to keep pure before God. And I want to encourage every one of us, we want to be kept pure so we can hear God's voice and not go in a pathway that's going to mean ultimate destruction. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Proverbs 22 and verse 11, he that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king, not the Babylonian king, the king of kings and Lord of lords, shall be his friend. So God wants us to keep purity. Psalm 24, verse 3 through 5, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So very important. So very important for the days ahead for all of us. Now, in Romans chapter 10, and verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, in the Greek, there's two different words that especially are translated word in the scripture. They're very different from one another. One is a logos, and it's a very powerful word, but the other one is rhema, and a rhema is a word spoken from the mouth of God to someone. And God wants us to hear that rhema. And it's interesting that Paul says here that faith comes by hearing that rhema. That's what produces faith in us. I know a lot of Christians that have the idea, you know, they read a scripture, have faith. Have faith in God. And it's like, and they try to build up faith in their life. The thing that creates faith in us is the rhema of God. God wants that rhema to birth in our spirit what is upon the heart of God, that he wants to be a word of faith that is in our life that will keep us and guide us into the purposes that God has for us. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to hear the voice of the Lord more than we need to eat our morning cereal. Amen? The voice of God is powerful, and it creates faith in us. And we know without faith, it's impossible to please God. But very much of it is coming from that rhema from God. It's birthed in us by that rhema. When God speaks to us, there is the potential of faith being produced in us if we believe him and respond to him in obedience to what he requires of us. Now, in 1981, One day I was driving down the road near where our church was. It's not our church anymore. My son's the pastor. My son and his wife are the pastors now. But I was driving down the road, and the Lord spoke to me and said these profound words, pillars, pillars, and narrow windows for lights. Isn't that a profound word? How would you like to receive a word like that? Well, God also put it in my spirit to know more than just those words. Those words were indicating that God was saying to us we were to build a new building. We had an old steepled building, basically very small, becoming very decrepit. The floor, when we went there, had fallen in, and the building was, it was falling apart. And we were there for a number of years, about 10 years, and we were happy, we were contented, and now God was indicating by this word that we were to build a new church building. So I knew that's what was on God's heart. I felt his heart in that. And so I began to consider about that. And at that time, in our nation, the Detroit area, and we have a lot of manufacturing in the Detroit area, a lot of auto products are made in Detroit, and a lot of people in our church were involved in that industry. But the Detroit area at that time led major cities in an unemployment rate of 16.4%. That's difficult. In 1982, prime interest rates reached 21.5% at banks. That's a high interest rate, not a good time to borrow money. God was speaking to me that we were to build a new building. And basically, I called the board together, the board of the church, the men together, and I presented to them the proposal that I felt God was speaking. We were to build a new church. And they knew those statistics better than I did. And they went, we don't know. Things are not good in the economy, and so on and so forth. And I said, well, I'm not going to force anyone into this decision. I said, don't talk about this to anyone. And we prayed and asked the Lord if he would speak a word of confirmation to us. The following Wednesday night, a high school girl stood up in our testimony service, and she said, I was getting ready to read my Bible the other night, and the Lord spoke to me to read in the book of Haggai. And she says, Haggai? Who wants to read Haggai? So she just closed her eyes and opened the book, and it opened right to Haggai. So she thought maybe she should read in the book of Haggai like God said to her. And she did that. And she says, and these verses stood out to me. Haggai 1:7-8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and bring and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Well, after that testimony, when the service was over, the board met again. And some of them had a revelation that maybe God was speaking, we should build, from reading Haggai. And it's interesting how exact God was. He says, go up to the mountain, gather wood, and build my house. And that building is built with all wood, other than a concrete floor in the basement. The basement has wood walls, and the rest of it's wood, basically. And that wood came from the mountains of southern U.S. And God was very exact. Go to the mountain, gather wood, build my house, and I'll take pleasure in it. Well, the board met after service, and everyone sensed God was leading us. And then God gave many confirmations after that. And we built that building out of all wood, like God said to do. Now, we did it differently, though. We set our hearts not to borrow. Now, we didn't have a lot of money at that time. We had been investing in missions, giving to everything we knew. And suddenly, I began to realize after this that money was building up a bit. We had about $30,000, and it cost that to do the prints and get the permits we needed and so forth to start building the building. But we didn't have the money to build the building yet. But we set our hearts. We would not borrow. We would not beg. We would not put pressure on people to give. We didn't even have a thermometer on the stage. Can you imagine building a church without having a thermometer showing how much more money you need? I visited many churches in my life, it seems like, that had thermometers to get a building project. But 3.5 years later, that building was complete. And it was all paid for. God was so faithful. But I want to tell you why it happened. God spoke a rhema. We heard what God said. In some ways, it didn't make sense. But God had spoken a rhema. And we obeyed what God said. And God proved himself more than we ever could have believed possible. He's so wonderful. And he wants to prove himself to each one of us. And I want to encourage you, if God is speaking to you, he's putting a word in your heart, listen to that word. Respond to him. Oh, God's purposes are so wonderful. And he wants to do awesome things for us. He wants us to be men and women of faith. And that rhema will create faith in us. It will create faith in us. And we must listen carefully to God's voice and do what he says so that he will be able to fully complete his purposes. He will make us men and women of faith. Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, I realize that this is a simple message in one way, but Lord, I know the reality of how powerful it is when you speak a word to us and how important it's going to be for us in the days right ahead of us that we hear the voice of the Lord and respond to it, never reject what you're saying to us. No matter how unusual it may seem. Father, we pray that you'll do a work in the depths of our spirit. Lord, I pray for those that have heard your voice and have refused to respond. Lord, I pray that you'll just do a fresh work and plant and a willingness and an obedience in their heart, that they will not refuse your speaking anymore. Lord, you want to prepare us for turbulent times ahead. I believe there's going to be great things you're going to do for us, but we have to believe you when you speak to us and respond in obedience. Oh, Lord, move in our behalf. We cry out to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, raise up from this body of people tonight men and women of faith that will hear the voice of the Lord and will respond in obedience and be men and women of faith. Hallelujah. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.